Support for this Public Radio Tulsa podcast is provided by Chamber Music Tulsa, who presents the Harlem Quartet live in concert at the Tulsa Performing Arts Center November 10th. For more information, visit chambermusictulsa.org. For the first 20 years of his career, Johannes Brahms couldn't complete a symphony or a string quartet for fear that they wouldn't measure up to his idol, Ludwig van Beethoven. Then, in 1873, Brahms finally had his breakthrough, finishing not one, but two string quartets at the same time. The symphony would take a couple more years, but in 1875, when he was just about done with it, Brahms took a break to write this piece, his most lighthearted string quartet. It's Johannes Brahms' third string quartet, Opus 67, in 10 minutes or less. I'm Jason Heilman. Even though Ludwig van Beethoven had died in 1827, he continued to cast a shadow over European music throughout the 19th century and beyond. Beethoven's contributions to the symphony and the string quartet in particular were so definitive that anyone else who wrote in these genres had to contend with them. Of course, many 19th century composers responded by avoiding the symphony and the string quartet altogether. Some became full-time opera composers, while others created entirely new musical forms, like the symphonic poem, which couldn't be compared to Beethoven at all. But for Johannes Brahms, Beethoven's legacy was a special burden. More than any of his contemporaries, Brahms revered the Viennese classical tradition of Haydn, Mozart, and Beethoven, and valued its emphasis on structure and craft over flashy displays of technique or literary wit. He never aspired to compose operas, and he thought that the leading romantic composers, like Franz Liszt, were lazy and self-indulgent. When he was still just 20 years old, Brahms' devotion to classical rigor helped him to win the approval of Robert Schumann, who declared him to be a man of destiny. But even though Schumann never mentioned Beethoven by name in his famous editorial praising Brahms, the subtext was obvious. This young man is going to be the next Beethoven. And while that comparison might have ruffled a few feathers among music critics, it absolutely terrified Brahms. This led to 2 decades of near paralysis, with Brahms refusing to write either a symphony or a string quartet. He composed in other genres, including string sextets and serenades for orchestra, but he steered clear of the things Beethoven had been known for. Or at least that's what it seemed like to everyone else. In reality, Brahms' Beethoven fixation was causing him to second-guess himself on a massive scale. He attempted to write symphonies and string quartets, but he kept throwing draft after draft away because they didn't measure up. In a particularly candid moment, Brahms famously likened the situation of composing after Beethoven to hearing the footsteps of a giant always trudging behind him. Of course, moving to Beethoven's adopted hometown of Vienna in 1863 didn't exactly help, but it was just a few years later, in 1869, that Brahms finally had his first international success with his German Requiem. 4 years later, he was finally able to premiere not one, but two string quartets, and work on his new symphony was finally looking promising. It seemed as though Brahms had finally broken his Beethoven curse at last. But just when everything seemed to be coming together on his first symphony, Brahms took a little detour. Or more accurately, he took a vacation. During the summer of 1875, Brahms set his symphony aside to spend some time in the German countryside near Heidelberg. While he was there, he started working on a new project, a string quartet, which would be quite different from both his dramatic C minor first quartet and his sentimental A minor second. But where his first two quartets took years, if not decades, to become a reality, the third only needed a few weeks. For a perfectionist like Brahms, you'd think that a string quartet coming together so quickly would be cause for celebration. But he seemed to see it more as an excuse for procrastinating on his symphony, and even at one point dismissed the new quartet as a useless trifle. Brahms dedicated his new quartet to his friend, Dr. Theodor Wilhelm Engelmann, who was a professor of physiology at the University of Utrecht and a keen amateur cellist. It tells you a little about Brahms' sense of humor, then, that he didn't give the cello very much to do in this new quartet. Instead, he saw a more personal connection to its dedicatee. In a letter to Professor Engelmann, Brahms said that this quartet rather resembles your wife, very dainty but brilliant. Set in the key of B-flat major, Brahms' third string quartet opens with a melody that immediately establishes an almost rustic tone. Thank you. For most 19th century listeners, the galloping rhythm and leaping lines would have been associated with fox hunting. For Brahms, the association might have been even more specific. About 90 years earlier, Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart had used a very similar melody to open his so-called Hunt Quartet, which was also in the key of B-flat major. Brahms' hunting music soon slows down to introduce a second theme, which recalls a German peasant dance. These two contrasting moods play off of one another throughout the rest of the first movement as the themes are developed and return at the end. Then for the second movement, Brahms slows things down to create a mood of quiet nostalgia with a simple yet elegant melody for the first violin. This nostalgic melody is briefly interrupted by much more angular music, which in turn flows into the movement's central interlude, but the nostalgic mood comes back at the end to close out the movement. When Brahms was describing his new quartet to his friend, Professor Engelmann, he told him, "There's no cello solo in it, but such a tender viola solo that you may want to change your instrument for its sake." That viola solo takes place in the third movement. And to highlight it, Brahms asks the two violins and the cello to use their mutes, allowing the viola to take the lead in this agitated scherzo. The three muted instruments then retake the lead in the movement's central trio section, but the viola solo ultimately returns before the movement's end. The finale opens with a gentle, almost homely theme, which Brahms uses as the basis for a set of 8 variations. These variations take on wildly differing characters, with the last two actually bringing back the hunting theme from the first movement, giving the piece a kind of cyclical cohesion before the abrupt coda. Brahms may have composed his third string quartet to, as he put it, avoid facing the serious countenance of a symphony, but his procrastination didn't last too long. He finished his first symphony a few months later, and the two pieces received their premieres just a week apart in the fall of 1876. Yet despite the composer's own dismissiveness, his friends adored the new string quartet. Josef Joachim, who played the first violin part at the premiere, wrote to Brahms to say that he had scarcely written any more beautiful chamber music, singling out the third and fourth movements in particular. And Clara Schumann summed up the quartet as too delightful for words. But despite those accolades from his closest confidants, the piece would be Brahms' last string quartet. It took him 20 years to master the genre, but only a summer to let it go forever. This was Johannes Brahms' third string quartet in 10 minutes or less. For Public Radio Tulsa's Classical Tulsa, I'm Jason Heilman. Thanks for listening.